Sports Time Radio. All sports, all the time.
Even though for some reason I was thinking it was Thursday, this is actually the Wednesday edition of Sports Time Radio. I'm the Big Jack. With me is Dan the Man. If you'd like to call into the podcast, 646-478-3753 is the number to do that. If not, feel free to email us, sportstimeradio@hotmail.com. Anything else you need, head on over to sportstimeradio.com. Now, since it is Wednesday, the new blog went up this morning, so you can swing on over there and check that out. Of course, they go up on Wednesdays and Saturday mornings. But while you're at sportstimeradio.com, you want to find that link, get yourself over to the Sports Time Radio Facebook page. If you could like that while you're over there, well, we greatly appreciate that. There's also the Sports Time Radio Twitter feed, which is at Sports Time Radio. Now, you can find Dan and I on Twitter as well. I am at Burke Time, and Dan the Man is at? Uh-oh, I had that fear that it did not bring him in. Let me do a double click here and see if we can get Dan in. All right, Dan, say something.
Dan the Man with three E's.
There we go. It worked that time. So sometimes it takes a little work to get the website to function properly. As you know, was that yesterday we had all the issues or Monday? I don't remember. But we made it. Dan is here. We are all happy that Dan is here. So we will roll into today. Dan and I are racking up some first basemen for you that we're interested in per our fantasy league with our ratings and all the things that go up on our things. We're doing first and third baseman today. I guess since you went first yesterday, it's my turn, huh? I gotta start. So I did decide I was going to go through and just steal all of Dan's guys because, you know, I kind of know the guys he likes and stuff. But I couldn't do that to him. So I'm going to start off. Interestingly, at number five, I'm going with Joe Mauer of the Minnesota Twins. Now, there's some kind of catches that go with drafting Joe Mauer. If you're going to get Mauer, you have to have power at other positions because as far as first basemen go, he's not going to give you home runs. He only got seven last year. I would assume, he's going to get the double digits, but I can never see him being over 15. The advantage to Mauer is he always hits over 300, so you're going to get a high batting average. A little surprised looking at his stats from last year that he only drove in 71 runs, but I believe he may have been that guy hitting in the two-hole. And, you know, there are limited RBI abilities there. But he had a pretty healthy season. He played in 141 games. You know, he's kind of that under-the-radar guy. I mean, maybe if you miss out on the big guys and you decide, you know, I'm going to stack outfielders or I'm going to grab power guys here and there, you know, when it starts to kind of get down to it and you're like, oh, crap, you know, I still need a first baseman. I mean, is there quality out there? Mauer is a guy you're going to be able to find really late in drafts. So I'm plugging him in at number five here, almost kind of as an under-the-radar pick. I wouldn't go so far as to call him a sleeper because he's Joe Mauer and everybody knows him, but definitely an under-the-radar choice as a first baseman. So, Dan, where are you going with five?
Oh, to San Diego. With I'm sure you had him tagged for one of my guys, and Will Myers. You know, the downside, I'll go with the downside first, is the high strikeouts, which don't matter. He almost had 200. And then a low batting average, but, you know, he's going to give you 150 games, 139 hits, but, 20-plus doubles. He had 30 home runs last year, and he stole 20 bases. Gonna give you some of those points, and then, you know, for now, while he's a first baseman, the one category I keep forgetting about, which does help a little bit, is the putouts. He's gonna grab them all, and I guess that's, I didn't think about that till now because I mean, let's be honest, the first baseman get the most putouts next to catchers.
Yeah, and, you know, if they do sign Eric Hosmer out there in San Diego, he could be a double position guy for you because they'll move him back to the outfield. So, but, yeah, check. Okay, I did that have that one on your list. So that's one. We'll have to see if Dan checks off the other boxes here. All right, at number four, I'm going with a guy that I'm very intrigued with to see how he performs this year. Carlos Santana, now of the Philadelphia Phillies, is my number four guy. You know, he spent his entire career with the Cleveland Indians. He's bounced around quite a bit from position to position. You know, he started as a catcher, spent a little time at first. They tried him at third. They tried him in left field. He ended up back as a first baseman, DH. Well, now he's exclusively going to be a first baseman, which is really intriguing to me to see how he does. Solid power numbers, 23 bombs, 79 ribbies, did also hit 37 doubles. What's going to help you with Santana is he's one of those guys who actually takes his walks, 88 walks to 94 strikeouts. And that's impressive in today's baseball. Most guys are 2-1 the other way with strikeouts over walks. Santana is one of those guys who is, you know, has even, and even some years has been ahead of, has drawn more walks than strikeouts. He played in 154 games last year, but my concern is he doesn't have the DH to reply, you know, to kind of rely on getting him in games this year. So I'm kind of interested to see how the Phillies use him on a regular basis, but that's a home run hitter's park. So, you know, you're looking at a guy who's probably going to get back to 30 with regular play. And, you know, hopefully, you know, that's an uptick in RBIs as well. He'll probably be hitting more in the middle of the order in Philadelphia than on Cleveland. He was kind of, you know, on the outskirts of driving runs in, and in some cases even let off for them at certain times. So, he's very intriguing here at number four for me. So I'm plugging in Carlos Santana there. Where are you going with four? I'm looking at a couple of your guys here. So which one's number four for you?
You might not pick this guy, but I actually am going for guys that, you know, might not be obvious choices up in the early rounds. And Logan Morrison, you know, I feel like he's one of those guys that if he's, you're looking for a first baseman. He's going to be solid numbers again. He's got a low batting average. Doesn't strike out as bad as Will Myers, but it's still pretty high. But, you know, last year he hit 38 bombs and, 20 doubles, 85 RBIs. He's probably able to walk 81 times. So, you know, if he can get that strikeout number down, and I don't know if he's still going to be on Tampa. I don't remember. But if he can be on a more productive team, maybe those numbers could come up.
Yeah, not now. We need somebody to sign him so he can actually play. He's another one of those guys floating around out there still. So, all right, for number three, I went with a guy that I'm just not ready to give up on yet. I'm plugging Miggy in at number three, Miguel Cabrera, Detroit Tigers. You know, he had a down year last year. He only played in 130 games. He hit .249 with the 16 homers and 60 RBIs. I'm not quite ready to say he's done. I know a lot of guys are, but I'm thinking, you know, again, you're looking around, and, you know, maybe you missed out on some of the top guys because first basemen do tend to go, you know, pretty early. And you're hanging around, and maybe it's the third or fourth round, or if you're in a smaller league, it could be as deep as, you know, eight. You know, once guys get their guys, they start looking at other positions. And all of a sudden you realize, wow, you know, I need a first baseman. Who's the best guy on the board? Miggy could be sitting there and be that guy and really be worth a shot. The key to his game is going to be he needs to stay healthy. And, you know, that's been, you know, his problem is he just – you know, he gets these nagging injuries. I think 2 years ago it was a hamstring that he tried to play through and it bothered him. And I know last year he had a multitude of just kind of, you know, ticky-tacky stuff that slowed him down. But I'm not ready to throw in the towel. You know, I can't give up on Miggy just yet. You know, he was one of the few MVP picks I actually got right when we make our selection. So I have a special place for him. That and the fact that he's a frickin' triple crown winner. And I just don't think those guys are going to go away too easily. So I'm looking for Miggy to bounce back. And he's my number three. I think he's worth taking a chance on. So who did you plug in at three?
I actually have a tie because they're almost identical in numbers, and that would be Ryan Zimmerman and Justin Smoke. But I think the thing that edges out Zimmerman, though, is that he's going to get you more hits, and he has a higher batting average. But across the board, I mean, both these guys with the home runs, the RBI, the walks, everything, even the doubles, it's almost like you're looking at the same player. So, I mean, it was first baseman. It was hard to really we did yesterday. So,
Oh, there we go. Ew. I'm not coughing today. I'm going to sneeze all day.
The way it looks, I mean, third, fourth, fifth, sixth round. Oh, well, maybe third through five, these two should be available. And if you weren't able to land the top guys, I think you should definitely go after one of these two.
So for my number two, I got to give Mr. Fantasy some love here. When I don't remember how many years ago it was now, but when I first bought my little Chevy, my Sonic, I got the free Sirius XM radio, so I spent most of my time listening to the Fantasy Sports Station, and they steered me wrong many, 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 many more times than they did me right. So I never listened to it again. I actually haven't listened to it since. But one of the things the guy said on that station was, if Freddie Freeman is your fantasy first baseman, you will never win your league. Well, oddly, that year, Freddie Freeman was Mr. Fantasy's first baseman, and he won our league. So I want to give Freddie Freeman a little love. Now, you know, he was injured last year, only played in 117 games, but still put up 28 homers with 71 RBIs, hit .307, added 35 doubles, and then scored 84 runs. I don't know if he played enough third base to qualify, depending on your league settings. I think ours is 10 games. I know some are more, and then, of course, some are less. Obviously, that makes total sense. You may actually be able to kind of sneak kind of a dual position guy here if you're in the right league. You've got to figure a healthy Freddie Freeman is a 35 to 40 homer guy if he's in 150 to 155 games, and he's probably a 100 RBI guy as well. Oddly, he had 8 steals. I don't think he's going to get around or be around to that number because it's just really not part of his game, so we'll call that a bit of a fluke. But he's definitely on the Braves, who should be an improving team. You know, he should be a run producer in the middle of that lineup. So I dropped him in at number two. Who's your number two?
You can check him off my list. Cody Bellinger. I think he's going.
I was
going to
say which one I got left. Sorry.
I think he's really going to have a comeback year, and, you know, as long as he stays healthy. I don't know. Their hitting coach has to work with these young guys and eliminate the strikeouts to help boost that batting average a little bit, though.
So. Oh, is that it? Were you done? I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, you know, I went with number one, one of the best fantasy players out there, and it's the good guy on a bad team. You know, Joey Votto was really head and shoulders above most, if not all, fantasy players last year. He did play in every game, scored 106 runs, 34 doubles, hit 36 home runs, drove in 100 runs on the nose, struck out 83 times, but walked 134 times. So, you know, if you're in one of those leagues that, you know, as on-base percentage or, you know, OPS plus slugging, you know, he's one of those guys that is, he's just going to rack up these numbers because he almost always walks more. You would hope by now they're in like the third year of their rebuild that they would be improving. I don't know if I buy that, and that always kind of limits Votto because he's got the big time contract and it makes him difficult to trade. You know, if he was in the middle of a contender's lineup, he probably would have won at least one MVP, maybe multiple, with the kind of numbers he puts up. You know, I mean, he drove in 100 runs on the Reds last season. You know, the fear, of course, when a guy takes his walks like Votto does, there are times in clutch situations he's going to be pitched around and just accept it. And, you know, that can hurt his stats. But if he gets close to these numbers like last year, I mean, even if he's a 30-homer guy with 100 ribs and he's got 50 more walks than strikeouts with that 300 average, you're going to be a happy fantasy owner. So I had to plug him up there at number one and just kind of let guys run with it. So, all right, I had one more guy on my list for you. Is he your top guy?
I don't know, but if I can't get Joey Votto, I'm going after the other guy who played literally every day last year, and that's Eric Hosmer, as long as he gets signed. You know, the numbers weren't as great as Joey Votto, but you know, his RBIs were real close with him. His walks weren't as great. He struck out more, but he did steal one more base, and he got a handful of more hits, but... you know, I think he's going to be a great addition to whatever team lands him. And, you know, I'm so surprised there isn't a playoff contending team that doesn't need a first baseman.
Yeah, well, remember, sabermetrically, he's hated. So yeah. I think that may kill some value, which is incredibly stupid. But, you know, that's just sadly how the game has went this year. So I was disappointed. I thought, where's the Riz? You didn't put the Riz on your list.
Yeah.
I figured he was your number one.
Well, you didn't put Yonder Alonso.
He's a free agent, though. He's not going to be a Mariner. That doesn't count. So, you know, I could have put I could have put Dan Vogelbach. Maybe he'll actually get a shot to play first base for the Mariners this year. But, yeah, obviously, you know, there are just a ton of quality first basemen. So, you know, you can find them, you know, around the corner depending on how your league goes and all that other fun stuff. But, all right, I guess now we've got to we gotta do third baseman, huh? So, you know, again, there's still a ton of quality guys here as well, but... I am starting off, oddly, I ended up with Phillies on my list for both guys. I like Mikel Franco. You know, he had a down year last year, hitting just .230. But I believe as the team gets better, he gets better. You know, he still hit 24 home runs, 76 RBIs. I think all these numbers could go up. I want to see him as a 30-plus, 100 RBI type of guy. You know, I know his struggles got so bad last year, they actually dropped him in the order. He was hitting, I believe, seventh for quite a bit of the season. I think they get that straightened out this year, and he's back to, you know, like if you can get him to hit 260 or 270 with those 30-plus homers and 100 bombs, you're going to be really happy. You know, he stays relatively healthy, played 154 games last year. I definitely think he's a guy that's looking for – you know, I don't know if you want to call it a bounce-back season because it's only, what, his third or maybe his fourth season in baseball. But I think just – or in the majors, I should say. You know, I definitely think he's a guy who is going to be a surprise contender this year when we start looking at third baseman. So I'm jumping on him at number five. Who's your guy?
Jake Lamb from the Diamondbacks. You know, he's definitely later on still looking for a third baseman. You know, he's going to give you at least 150 games. He was able to land 105 RBIs with 30 home runs. Still low batting average with some strikeouts, but you know, he was able to cross the plate 89 times. And, you know, if Arizona is able to continue to contend and he's in the right position in the lineup, he's going to be a great pickup for you later on in the draft.
Hang on, I switched off my list. I have to go back and hunt it up here. There we go. All right, I went with number four. You know, the interesting thing is the reason this guy ended up making my list is because he got traded. I really like Evan Longoria now that he's a San Francisco Giant. You know, I look for the Giants to bounce back. You know, they had, I don't know if they had the worst record or one of the worst records in baseball last year. I don't think they're that bad. You know, Longoria, he played in 156 games, so he's out there just about every day. 36 doubles with 20 homers, 86 RBIs. He hit 261. You know, I still think he'll be a 20-homer guy, even moving to you know, San Francisco with the bigger park and all that. And I believe he has the opportunity now to put up close to 100 RBIs with, you know, that way, the way that order is going to shake out. I mean, the mix somewhere with, you know, Posey and Belt and McCutcheon, you know, and Hunter Pence, if he is healthy, along with Longoria, it's going to be a really nice mix there. And I think, you know, the talk is that he's getting old and it's, you know, he's just not the guy he used to be and, you know, all that kind of stuff. I think that's going to push people off of him and you may be able to scoop him up a little later than you actually realize. So I'm plugging, you know, Longoria in here at number four, and I'm going to go that route with him. So we'll see how that works. Who's your number four?
Number four would come from KC with Mookie, Mike Moustakas. You know, he had relatively high home runs, 38 last year. I think that was the most for a third baseman next to Joey Gallo. You know, but he didn't have as many strikeouts as Gallo. He was only able to drive in 85 runs, but if Kansas City can remain competitive, I think he would be a solid third baseman, you know, in your mid rounds. You know, the only downside
You like all the unsigned guys. Why is that?
I don't know. So, I mean, you know, who knows if he's going to land back in JC, but, you know, another guy, if he lands on a competitive team, I think he can make a big difference for them. He doesn't steal any bases, though. So.
Yeah. All right. Number three for me, I'm on the Miguel Sano bandwagon here of the Minnesota Twins. You know, dinged up last year, missed about the last month. The Twins still got in the playoffs without him. 114 games, he still hit 28 home runs and drove in 77 RBIs. You know, 264 hitter, you got to figure if you get 40 more games out of him, you know, you're looking at another, maybe a 4,100 guy, if not a high 3,100 guy. Now, you know, again, we're talking about another guy who puts up big, big strikeout numbers. You know, if given the opportunity, he'll get the 200 strikeouts, but unless you're in a really, you know, expansive fantasy league with big-time categories, strikeouts don't hurt you. So you're looking for these big-time offensive numbers, and he's a guy who really has potential to give them to you. So he'll be kind of a middle pick there, depending on how people feel about him. But I think there's going to be some good value here, and I like Sano at three. I think he's gonna have a big year. So who's your number three?
I like Travis Shaw, you know, coming over from Milwaukee. I think they're going to be a competitive team next year. And with him at their corner, he's just kind of going to boost their offense. He's kind of a, another guy who's in that range where strikeouts are kind of up there, but he's going to hit you some bombs and kind of drive in rough.
Yes. You know, another strikeout guy, too. What do you have, 196 last year? Oh, all right. So, number two, I went for a – oh, was it? Okay. Number two, I went for a veteran guy who, you know, reached a huge milestone last year, but sadly was ended up being hurt quite a bit. I'm going with what I'm considering here, a healthy Adrian Beltre. Now, Mr. Fantasy can never get his first name right, but it is actually Adrian. Just 94 games last year, but he still hit 300. He hit 312, put up 17 home runs with 71 RBIs. He reached the 3,000 hit plateau in his career. This guy's a surefire Hall of Famer, but I don't think he's done. He looks like he's still got a few good years left. He may not be the 30 home run hitting third baseman that you're looking for, so you may need to back it up with a power at another position or something in that area. But again, you're looking at a guy who's a 300 hitter and is if healthy is going to get you 100 RBIs. So it's big numbers here, and I definitely think he is he's a bona fide top third baseman that may slide in the draft because of those injuries last year. So he could be a big pickup there, and he's my number two guy. So I'm going with Beltre there. Who did you who'd you grab?
My number two is a guy that I chose over Chris Bryant, and for two big reasons. Number one, Joe Madden, his coach. So he's not batting where he should be batting. Number two, the strikeouts were higher than Anthony Rendon. That's the one thing with Dusty Sarno, isn't he?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they let go of Dusty. So, but with Anthony Rendon, he was always put in the lineup to be more of that, cleanup power hitter. So he's still going to get you the bombs. He's going to get you the RBIs. Sorry, I had to get off the train. So, he's going to get those numbers up there. And, I kind of see him being a high-round pick. I think it just depends on, where you're at in the draft, what guys are looking for. Because, with 1,000 of players, it's hard to really judge who's going to go where. But I still think if he's sitting there in the third, fourth round, he might be a guy you're looking to grab if my number one is gone.
I think he went in the fourth round of our league last year, so that was a huge pick for somebody. And he was actually a double position guy last year. He qualified at second as well, but that's not going to happen this year. So, all right. Well, my number one out and out, is Nolan Arenado. When they talk about him, they always complain, he plays 81 games in Colorado. Well, that's exactly what you want for a fantasy player. He played in 159 games total, scored 100 runs, put up 43 doubles, did even triple seven times to go with 37 homers and 130 RBIs. And then just to top it off, he hit over 300 at 309. This guy's a surefire, solid first-round pick, may even be a top five, depending on how your league values positions. He's definitely going to be right there. I mean, I know I won't complain if I'm sitting at five and I get Nolan Arenado. I'll be very happy with that. Now I know in our league he'll be the second, third baseman off the board because being that we're Chicago-centric, Chris Bryant always goes before him. Arenado had the much better year than Bryant, and we love Chris Bryant. Nothing against Bryant. Like Dan said, Joe Madden's his manager, so we live with that, but it's just too difficult to not put him on top of your list. Again, 37 home runs, 130 RBIs. You can't go wrong there with the 300 hitter. So right at the very top of my board is Nolan Arenado. He's my number one guy at third base. So who is yours?
Well, to touch on Chris Bryant a little bit, oddly, I had him on my team. And when I traded him is when I started to do better. Go figure. You know, and it's true. You know, like you said, it's nothing against him. It's the man, Joe Maddon. He's not using him in the way he should be used. And for fantasy, it kind of hurts you a little bit. Of course, a home run's a home run. It's going to help. But, you know, not knocking in guys doesn't help you. But my number one, I think, is going to be hands down the number one third baseman taken off the board. As long as he stays healthy, I think he's going to hit 150. You know, maybe he'll even pull out the full-time 162 next year. Justin Turner, you know, for being in 130 games, he landed the highest batting average. Plus, I think with the World Series play, that gives him a little boost in everyone's minds. He's still kind of in there. And, you know, while his – I think he hit about 20 home runs or so, 70 RBIs roughly, I think, you know, getting the extra 20, 25 games roughly will boost his numbers up. And, you know, that Dodgers team is just going to get better.
So, well, you know, we kind of added, you know, this one in a little bit yesterday. And, let's jump back to first base. Is there a – one first baseman or maybe multiple guys that you're not interested in this year?
The one guy who stood out above most, and, you know, it sucks to say it because he, you know, the home runs are big time and Gurriel hit 41, but, you know, the strikeouts don't affect us, but everything else was just kind of low for me. And late draft, I wouldn't be drafting him, and fantasy or auction wise, I would definitely be nominating him. I don't want to say as quickly as I could, but, you know, within the first couple of rounds to get people to spend some money on him.
And who was it? I missed the name.
Gurriel.
Oh, okay. Oh.
Right.
So, yeah, I have a... whatever the issue is, for some reason, I have a problem getting on the Chris Davis bandwagon. You know, it's so weird. Maybe it's the 215 average. I don't know, or the fact that he strikes out 200 times. But, you know, like last year, his power numbers were down. And I'm just kind of concerned that this could be a bit of a trend now as, you know, his career kind of goes on. So I'm really not interested in landing Chris Davis. And this is the Chris Davis of the Orioles here, obviously the first baseman. So I'm gonna duck and cover there. I don't want to end up with him. Now how about third baseman? You got a guy or the guy that you're not interested in?
No, I think I just totally mixed up my,
did you go backwards?
Gallo.
Ah, okay. So that makes more
third base
sense
is
now.
Joey, yeah. Gurriel, I think, again, another fresh guy in your mind because of the World Series. But it was Joey Gallo. That's the guy. I had everything else right. Texas, the numbers, just the wrong name. That was third base.
All right, well,
are we back on?
That was third. Yeah. Well, you do. I did a first baseman, so you do your first baseman, and then I'll jump back to third.
How about you go to third first?
All right. Well, I'm kind of cheating here on this one, but what I decided I want to stay away from is any combination of anybody who's playing third base for the Marlins next year. You know, it looks like Martin Prado is going to be the listed starter, but I've seen some reports that they may start him in left field, which would open the job up for Derek Dietrich. I don't want none whatsoever to do with either of these guys, even if they're getting the full-time at-bats. You know, Prado, you know, the sad part is Prado would be a double position guy, and, you know, I kind of like those guys. I just can't do it. This is going to be a bad team, and I just can't see either of these guys producing. You know, Dietrich only hit just under 250 last year. Prado's not a power hitter to begin with. So, you know, you're not going to get a lot out of him in either position, and he was dinged up quite a bit last year. So, you know, while I know it's kind of a bail on to stay away from, but just that anybody related to Marlins and third base, I can't deal with. I just can't do it. So I'm staying away from those guys.
Yeah, I just, for the other side, I just, for whatever reason, can't get behind Mitch Moreland. He's one of those guys that, you know, even at a, I wouldn't even nominate him as being a jerk like I did and got stuck with A-Rod for $2 that one year. He's just, for whatever reason, you know, I think he's a guy that can be replaced easily, and I just can't get behind him. How do you feel about him?
Yeah, you know, I'm kind of in that boat. You know, it's weird because I like him as a player and I want to see him do well, but I just don't think he's in a good spot. You know, there's a little too much that goes on, you know, in Boston, and they have the big time prospect whose name I always get wrong. It never matters. I think I've been calling him Sam Horn for, I don't know how long, and it's, you know, that's not his name. Sam Horn was a former Red Sox. So yeah, you know, I just don't think, you know, they're that committed to him, and it, you know, we'll see. I mean, you know, maybe I'm wrong. You know, again, not like it's going to be the first time I've ever been wrong on these guys, but you know, I can definitely see that pick. But yeah, so there's our, you know, our list of first and third basemen, you know, to kind of pick based on our fantasy rankings. Now, I know yours are different or possibly different, but it, you know, it's, you know, and our lists are obviously a little different. You know, we don't have the natural top fives that you're seeing. So we're giving you some different options. I hope you enjoy that. Tomorrow we're going to do our outfielders, which is really interesting for us because, as I mentioned before, our outfield is position specific. So it'll be, you know, five left fielders, five center fielders, five right fielders, you know, and that makes life much, much more interesting in our league. I've been a little disappointed that I can't get our money league that Mr. Fantasy and I play in to adopt that. So, but we'll see. You know, I keep hoping that one of these days they'll come around to it. And, you know, like I mentioned while we were talking about guys, how certain positions don't have value in certain leagues. In our money league, it's one of those situations where outfielders have no value whatsoever. You know, like Mike Trout will be the number one pick or the number two pick in situations like that. But after that, outfielders just don't go. I mean, you can get really top quality outfielders very late in these in that draft, and I don't really know the significance or why it happens, but yeah, they slip like, you know, they're all sabermetrically terrible. So just one of those odd, you know, odd things. I don't know why. I don't understand why. It's just how the league is set up and works out, and outfielders don't have any real value for whatever reason. But we will see what kind of value Dan and I have on our guys tomorrow, and that'll be interesting. So,
like you said, they're not position specific. I think that drops the value in your money league. And then, you know, one thing I just thought about is, as you've been told to shut up because it's never going to happen. But as far as the draft goes, Big Jack, I don't know if you want that to happen, because if it becomes specific, doesn't it add another 3 hours onto your draft that already takes 12 hours?
Yeah. Well, you know, last year it took days because we did it online. We actually had to stop the draft and then finish it over a number of days. I don't know what they're doing this year, but you know, we'll have to see. But yeah, you're right. It's probably better that it's not, you know, it's not what it is. So, but I saw a couple reports that I wanted to kind of get your opinion on. You know, the first one I saw was that when the Red Sox made an offer to J.D. Martinez, they went with 5 years and what they're calling in the range of $100 million. Now, Martinez was one of those guys who came out and said he was looking for $30 million a year, and another guy who was hoping for a $200 million contract. Now, you won't be surprised by this. He's a Scott Boras client. You know, the Red Sox are his only real suitor. You know, there's a $10 million gap here between their rates. Are they going to be able to round this off, work it out? Do you see him signing with the Red Sox, or do you see them possibly just walking away from the whole thing and saying, good luck, go get your money somewhere else?
I think they should let him walk. I mean, let's be honest. You've got Mitch Moreland, but anyone you sign is most likely an upgrade. I don't know if they have much more left to trade. We're going after Jose Abreu from the White Sox, who I think would be a great option. But you've got to imagine being a contending team. I don't know why. Maybe there's too much sabermetrics involved, but I don't know why they're not looking at Eric Hosmer.
Yeah, I think they're hoping that their rookie develops. And again, this is just that guy whose name I don't remember. I don't know why that is with me, but he's just that guy for me. I keep thinking
J.D. Martinez is a first baseman for whatever reason.
I have to look. It's Sam Travis. So at least I got the first name right. I think they're hoping he's going to develop. And, you know, that's going to kind of solve their first base problem. But, who knows if it will. But that was one of the interesting ones I saw. And then the other one, Jeff Passan from Yahoo, I don't know if he wrote a column on it or if it was just a tweet, mentioned that he spoke to a big name free agent, and now he didn't give a name, who basically feels, and I'm just going on my own here, I'm not quoting his words, more or less feels disrespected by the offers he's received and is willing to sit out until his demands are met. Now, again, he didn't give a name. I would have been really interested to know who this was. And, you know, that was kind of like, yeah, well, that's what I was wondering. Honestly, I kind of thought it was Jake Arrieta because that sounds like Arrieta would have said. So I wouldn't be surprised if it was him because, you know, we've dealt with him enough to know he's a little bit arrogant. And I wouldn't be surprised if he said something like this. Do you buy the fact that a guy's going to be willing to do this if he can't get 20, 30 million like he's expecting?
Up to a point. I think if they don't get what they're expecting, they might. I don't know. It's hard to, you know, we can't really get into their mind, but I think it's very arrogant and putting themselves, making them almost bigger than the game, which, you know, the guys that are still out there, even though Yu Darvish is probably, I would say, the top one of them all, is not above the game. And, you know, I heard the collusion talk, not even talk, but, you know, kind of like we've suggested, will they say there's collusion amongst the owners, but supposedly, you know, the free agent class next year is supposed to be that much better. Why would you want, and I think it'll be even a little bit younger. I don't know why you'd want to, I don't even think it's so much the number, but it's the number plus the years.
Yeah, well, you know, I mean, you just look at, I mean, the first two names technically on the free agent list for next year right now are Bryce Harper and Manny Machado.
Much younger.
You know what I mean? You know, right. I mean, we've already talked about the fact that Harper could possibly receive a 10-year deal worth between $400 and $500 million. That's a whole lot for a team to be forking out, and maybe they don't want to, you know, drop it on a pitcher or an outfielder that they're not sure of this season. So, you know, it's definitely interesting. I did see today that Major League Baseball came out and they're actually blaming Scott Boras for the slowdown of signing guys, which is no real surprise here because this is exactly how Boras likes to play it. You know, he keeps his clients out on the market forever, hoping that a team is going to panic and overpay them. So, you know, this is absolutely nothing new if you've, you know, seen how Boras negotiates like this. And, you know, in some cases it works. In other cases, you know, it blows up in his face. And he's got a lot of guys sitting out there with just a little under a month away now from pitchers and catchers reporting. And, it you know, somebody's going to have to blink here. So.
Well, and they all can't play for the Nationals.
Right. So. You know, it's definitely a, you know, an interesting, you know, we're coming into a really interesting situation or time or however you want to kind of look at it. But yeah, you know, I mean, I think, you know, these pitchers have to understand that they're not worth the money they're asking for because they no longer give teams what starters used to give teams. You know, you're not getting 7-8 innings out of these guys anymore. I mean, you legitimately, when you send a starter out there, you're hoping for 6 innings. And then you want to drop it on your all-powerful bullpen that teams assemble. So, you know, you're not going to pay a guy $30 million a season to go out there and pitch 5 or 6 innings a start. It's just, it's not something that's going to happen.
Well, and with the Major League Baseball coming out and putting some of that blame on Scott Boras, I think that holds some of the, I don't know the word I'm looking for, but why these players can't call for collusion?
Yeah, well, you know, they're still going to call for it. It's just what they do.
Yeah.
You know, it's just how it all works. But I think the owners have some, you know, some proof here that they didn't collude. There's plenty of things like what I just said. You know, I mean, if I'm an owner and they tell me I'm colluding, I'm going to ask the guy why I want to pay a pitcher all that money to go 6 innings for me. So... you know, I mean, just one of those, you know, one of those odd situations, but, you know, sadly that's how it works. And that's, you know, what they do. It's like, oh yeah, well, you know, they're colluding against me and it's terrible because, you know, we can't do this or we can't do that. And it, you know, it's all, I mean, you know, we all know it's BS. So.
Yeah. Well, in case too, I mean, I felt like a lot of times, well, if he did get past the fifth, it was a good outing. Maybe it wasn't, you know, the hitters weren't on. But fourth inning was his big trouble inning. And he seemed to give up the most runs and the most hits and kind of get lit up on that inning alone.
Yeah, you know, again, I mean, you know, like, you know, like you're pointing out, you know, they have inning trouble. You know, who's going to, you know, fork over this kind of money. I mean, maybe somebody gets desperate enough and they're like, yeah, okay, you know, we've got to go get this guy. Let's try to meet his demands or get close to his demands. But yeah, I just don't, you know, at this point, I mean, teams are pretty close to being set And, you know, I mean, they know what they're doing. So I just don't know if, you know, I really think they have to readjust their thinking and value. I mean, you know, Alex Cobb is a solid starting pitcher in Major League Baseball. He's not worth $20 million a season. You know, I mean, he got a really good offer from the Cubs in 4 years, and I think it was 42 or 45 or whatever, and he turned it down. I believe that's the only offer he's gotten. So, you know, it's like, okay, there you go. But, it, you know, interestingly, Dan, I saw a name we haven't talked about in a while that got a lot of headlines early. Do you still think Manny Machado is on the trade market?
No. I think if the Orioles were smart, they're really trying to work to re-sign him or extend his contract before the trade deadline.
Yeah, I found an article on Bleacher Report by, I guess it goes by Zach E. Reimer, about the players still on the trade market and where they could end up. And now, you know, some of the guys he lists, you know, like he starts with Alex Colomay. Okay, I could see Tampa Bay making that move. Josh Harrison, again, you know, a really good name who's probably on the trading block. Billy Hamilton, we've heard a little about, not as much as before. You know, and then he throws the Marlins in there, JT Realmuto and Christian Yelich. You know, they're both out there. He adds in your guy, Chris Archer, which, again, I still haven't heard a lot, but, you know, occasionally Archer's name comes up and, you know, teams are talking about acquiring him. But Machado is the other guy added in there. And, yeah, I just don't know if he's really still a trade candidate anymore.
No, I mean, you know, you talked about it, talking heads, Orioles got to break it down and rebuild and blah, blah, blah. But at the same time, you know, who's going to give up a whole lot to get this guy?
Yeah.
For half the season.
Yeah. You know, and oddly, out of all the guys he has listed, out of all the guys I just ran through, he has the Cubs and the White Sox in on every one of them but one. You know, it's either the Cubs are interested or the White Sox are interested. And I got bad news for this guy. The White Sox aren't interested in any of these guys because they're not ready to win yet. So, you know, they're not going to deal guys from that prize farm system yet because they're not in a position to win. So, but, you know, I understand you got to come up with these things. You know, and then, Dan, the most disappointing story I saw all year so far happened today. I know it's just January 17th, but the most disappointing baseball story, it's being reported that if Ichiro can't get a contract, he will return to Japan and play baseball there next season. Dan, this can't happen. All right, we have to stop this from happening. He has to, you know, he has to sign on somewhere. You know, obviously, you know, he understands he's not an everyday player. You know, I think he played last year for like $2 million with the Marlins. You can't tell me there's not a team out there that can't use him as a fourth outfielder. You know, I mean, he's still a very good defender. He can still run. You know, he handles the bat okay. So, Why hasn't somebody picked this up yet, Dan? I need to know.
Well, because they haven't picked up anybody.
You know, I can't lose Ichiro though back to Japan. It'll just be too hard for me to follow.
YouTube, you know, I think it's not just an issue for him or an issue with him. It's an issue across the league. You know, like you mentioned, the top guys are still hanging out there. The potential trade candidates are, you know, still with their respective teams. This offseason has been kind of the slowest You know, I saw the stupid, instead of hot stove, lukewarm stove, you know, but that's what it's been.
That would say, I can't even call it lukewarm at this point. So, you know, I mean, I think cold may be a better definition. So, you know, I just, there's just really no excitement. Now, do you think, are we going to see a flurry of moves here as we get closer, or do you think we're really going to have some players' bluffs called on if they're willing to sit out or not?
I think we'll have a flurry, but I also think we're going to see their bluffs called. You know, you mentioned that they didn't say who it was, but I think you and I both think it was Jake Arrieta that would make the comment. And, you know, he's the one who came out before last season ended. And, no, not last season, season prior. And said that he, you know, he pulled a Joey Bats, automatically came out, and I'm not giving a hometown discount or any of that.
Yeah.
You know, I'd like to see him sit out, see how he likes it.
Yeah, you know, and I mean, what would be even more interesting is say, you know, even if it's not Arrieta, if it's, you know, one of, you know, Alex Cobb or Yu Darvish, it's one of those guys who are, you know, talking that. I would be interested to know, A, what the market would be for their return, and then B, how much would missing that 1 year cost them?
Yeah, I mean, for whatever reason, I don't think you would be the one that would sit out. I think he's playing the market the way he should. He knows that he's kind of the top dog between him, Arrieta, and Cobb. Which I, you know, I really don't understand how Cobb is even in that talks as being one of the top guys, to be honest with you. But I think Yu's going to sign. I don't know about those two. I think Yu's just, you know, weighing his options and kind of going between each team and just seeing what the most he can get out of it is. You know, and I think as long as you're doing what you need to be doing exercise wise or, you know, preparation, he'll be fine. I think he's the one who definitely gets signed. And I think he'll get closer to what he wants.
Yeah, I don't believe it's Darvish either. I just, you know, kind of wanted to lump him in because, you know, he's one of the bigger names out there. So you know, just to kind of be fair there, I didn't want to be like, oh yeah, hey, let's, you know, you always leave the.
Yeah. But I think we'll see him go, and then we'll see, you know, guys like Lance Lynn and, you know, the guys that are maybe not such high profile. I don't want to say high caliber. I want to say high profile.
Well, you know, it's funny. If you're a guy like Lance Lynn, you've got to be all kinds of ticked off because you need one of these guys to get a deal so you can get yours. So, I think I would be a little annoyed. All right, there you go. The Music Smith Dan and I are going to take off. Now, remember, tomorrow it's Outfielders for us. Wish us luck with that one. You know the deal while we're gone, though. SportsTimeRadio.com. Get over there and check out the new blog that went up this morning. Link over to the Facebook page and give that a like. But don't forget the Twitter feed, which is at Sports Time Radio. You can also find Dan and I on Twitter if you're looking for us. We're cool with that. As always, a big thanks for listening live. But don't forget, the podcast is available for you anytime you want right over at TuneIn.com.